Coming up next on The Social Hour, Amber and I are talking to the co-founder of a new menswear fashion line that also doubles as a Faraday cage. What are we talking about? We're going to talk to him. We're going to ask him a bunch of questions. It's going to be awesome. All that and a lot more next.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for The Social Hour is brought to you by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is The Social Hour with Sarah Lane and Amber MacArthur, episode 178, recorded Thursday, September 4th, 2014. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of The Social Hour from TWiT World Headquarters in Petaluma, California, where it is very hot today. I'm Sarah Lane.
Hey, Sarah. I'd love to say it was hot here, but it is a little bit cool here, I have to say. It's getting into fall weather. I'm, of course, here in Toronto, Canada, and it's been really warm so far this month. But today, there is a very cool breeze, and I feel as though the leaves are going to start falling any minute now, and I'm not looking forward to it. So if you see me out there more often on the West Coast down where you are, that's because this weather is going to get cold fast.
Good. Yeah. Come on out. You know, San Francisco enjoys a later summer than perhaps the rest of the country. So once you get into September through October, usually it's where we, you know, things get kind of hot. It was like 98 degrees in Petaluma yesterday on my ride up. So
wow.
There you go. I know. Little nuts.
That is a little nuts.
Like the band. Intense
for sure. So we have a guest today, and this is kind of a different guest because normally we don't have guests that come out of our Rad or Fad segment, but this week we do. Last week we were talking about a company called The Affair that has a Kickstarter project featuring something called the Unpocket, and we went back and forth, and we determined that it was pretty rad. It took us a while to get there, and I think we have a lot to learn about it.
Yeah, so you reached out to the co-founder who made The Affair, which is, of course, a Kickstarter project, to tell us a lot more about it. And he graciously agreed to join us on the show and joins us now from Auckland, New Zealand.
That's right. I'm in Auckland today.
Zoltan Saki?
Chaki. But that's okay.
All right. Well, you know, I did my best. Hi.
That's completely
to the show.
Fine. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So tell us a little bit more about this product that you're trying to get off the ground. It's a Kickstarter project. Obviously, you've gotten a bit of press already. And Amber and I, we did give this a rad. It was last week, wasn't it, Amber?
It sure was, yep.
We've been making graphic T-shirts inspired by literature for many, many years now. And we'd always wanted to get into menswear. We talked about it. Anyway, we were sitting down and finally made the decision to make that happen and started sketching and thinking. And the very first graphic T-shirt we ever made was inspired by George Orwell's 1984. So we thought there was a nice kind of story there in terms of coming full circle and using that same source material to inspire us to make our first collection of menswear. And then, like, a few months after that, basically Edward Snowden burst onto the scene. And with his NSA leaks and the revelations that, for all intents and purposes, Big Brother is actually no longer fiction. And it all just sort of fell into place from there. And from there, we decided to make a range of clothing that talked about the issue of privacy. And what we wanted to do is give people the power, basically, to reclaim that privacy in a way that perhaps they haven't been able to do before.
One question that I'm dying to ask you is just focusing on this idea of the Unpocket. And first of all, I think that's a great name. And I'm curious in terms of how it works, because I think Sarah and I were imagining how it would work and how it would fit in with your clothing, but it would be best to hear it from you.
Yeah, of course. The Unpocket's made from different layers of police-grade metallized fabric, so those layers combine when you put your phone inside or your passport and bank cards for that matter. When you close the Unpocket, as you can see here on the video, it actually creates a Faraday cage, which blocks all radio signals both in and out of the pocket. The technology of a Faraday cage has been around for like 150 years or more. Obviously, materials technology has improved like in leaps and bounds over that time, and it's got to the point now where we can make it flexible. And so that's it, really.
I mean, the idea of a Faraday cage being something that's not just flexible but actually kind of a fashion item is really interesting to me. I mean, we're looking at the video now, water resistant. Obviously, you can fit it in a variety of pockets. You can match it to the color of whatever you're wearing. I love the idea that this started as an idea and turned into something where you're like, I think we could actually do this. How long did it take from just a concept to, okay, let's actually put this together as a Kickstarter project because we think enough people are going to get on board?
The short story is longer than you'd think. But from the point where we sort of conceptualized the ability, hopefully the ability for clothes to, you know, to take you off the grid, obviously there was a huge amount of R&D that went involved into how that happens, and then discovering more about Faraday cages and how they work and the materials behind them and how they work. Then we had to source them, and then we had to, you know, get some, buy like a whole different, because I mean there's quite a few of these fabrics that exist, so we had to get all the different versions and play with them and start making pockets and basically, you know, test them and see if they worked. And yeah, over many sort of weeks and months, we came up with the combination of fabrics that we've ended up going ahead with.
I think over the years we've seen really that consumers have been slow to really take control of their privacy and understand that it's something that should be sacred and they should value. Do you think that consumers are ready for this? Because this is another thing we talked about last week during our Rad or Fad segment.
Yeah, I mean, I think for a start, fashion's all about choice. And I think that the concept of stealth fashion is perhaps at odds with mainstream sort of trend-driven fashion, which is all about peacocking, right? Whereas we're saying the opposite thing. We want you to look stylish, but we actually want you to sort of drop off the grid and become invisible. That being said, yeah, fashion's about choice. And I do think that as privacy moves towards the center of sort of public debate, and I think, you know, the nude selfies last week or the week before, whenever it was, certainly helps in that sense. You know, it's back on people's minds in a way that perhaps it hasn't been since Snowden burst onto the scene. And I just think that as people become more aware of the reality of the world that we live in, then, yeah, they will want to make this choice. And so we want to be there to give them the choice.
Some of the folks who are in our chat room live are asking questions like, well, when is this necessary? And I think that would be maybe a good clarification from you. It's not as if you don't want a phone to be connected to the internet at any time, right, or a gadget, because obviously, you know, that's sort of part of the fun of having these smart devices. But what are some situations that you would think this is a perfect opportunity for, and maybe people don't realize they could be more vulnerable?
I think it comes down to the fact that, you know, phones are convenient. Well, they're supposed to be convenient for the user, not for the rest of the population that wants to get in touch with you or wants to get a hold of you, you know what I mean? And I think the Unpocket gives you the option. It puts you back in control, essentially. It's like, I've got this enormously powerful device in my hand that I carry around with me all the time, and it allows me to do all these things and communicate to all these people all over the world, like instantaneous, and it's basically magic, right? It also has this insidious side whereby, you know, the reality is the government can and does know everything that you do and say and where you are at all times. And so what we're trying to do is just say, well, look, we're going to give you the choice. If you don't want that to be true, you put the phone in the pocket. And yes, of course, you can't then make phone calls or receive calls, or you won't get the latest Instagram update from your friend or whoever it is. But what we're doing is basically allowing you to define that space and say, well, I don't want to be on the grid right now. It might not be that you don't want to be tracked. It might just be that you don't you know, you don't want to be distracted. You want to focus. You might have some writing to do, or you might be painting or thinking or whatever it happens to be, you know, and you just don't want to be distracted. It also works fantastically in that sense.
This may sound like a weird question, but do you imagine that at first you'll have some type of underground following? I don't want to say criminals will love your product, but it's sort of top of mind right now.
Yeah, sure. Look, there's nothing to say to that apart from, yes, obviously there will be the more sort of nefarious elements of society that might jump on this. And look, that's okay as far as I'm concerned. But in all honesty, like, I've seen Breaking Bad, and people in that kind of line of work probably already have their own systems in place to avoid detection by whoever they're trying to avoid, you know. And what I'm trying to do is make something for the average person. Do you know what I mean? And that was really why I wanted to integrate it into fashion, because I think that, obviously, the pocket is standalone, and we made that decision because, you know, we're unashamedly a menswear brand. But we realized that, you know, privacy is not a gender-specific issue, and so we made the pocket removable and standalone as an accessory so that women could buy it if they wanted to.
I have to ask, because I know that whether you're making fashion or smartphone cases or whatever, that sometimes, you know, as a third party accessory maker, it can be awful when, you know, a company like Apple this week says, here's our brand new huge iPhone. Yeah. You know, you're like, oh no, is it going to fit? I mean, how much do you have to be really flexible when you're talking about mass marketing something that's a very specific size? When there are, you know, you're kind of just waiting to see what the device makers are going to do.
Yeah, of course. And look, you know, Apple is so notoriously secretive about these things. Obviously, we knew the iPhone 6 was coming, and there was a lot of chatter online as to what it might be and how much bigger it might be and all the rest of it. And then they pulled out the iPhone 6 Plus, which is this enormous phablet kind of thing. And but look, the great thing for us at the moment is that because we're on Kickstarter and because we're pre-ordering this stuff, we haven't yet rolled into production. And actually, I put an update out on the day that Apple released the iPhone 6, saying that based on the specs that they've given, we know that if we just make the pocket half an inch longer, we'll be able to accommodate not only the 6, but the 6 Plus. And I guess we're in that fortunate position whereby we're not currently in market. We're not, you know, we can respond to things like this. And I guess I hope that the phones don't get any bigger. I hope ergonomics is going to trump screen size at some point, because, you know, they can't get any bigger, right? It's getting a bit ridiculous, I think.
Last question for me, just to pick up on Sarah's question. Obviously, privacy is important to you, as it should be for all of us. What was going through your mind when you saw the Apple Watch announcement? Because in some ways, I mean, this makes us all more connected and more on the grid.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Apple Watch is fascinating. It's obviously, there's been a lot of talk about it in terms of what it might be. And now we've got a sense of what it could do. And I think that it is really interesting. And, you know, there's a subset of the population that does want to share absolutely everything all the time. And they probably don't care too much about privacy. But I think that for most people, they do want to know about privacy, or they do care about privacy. In terms of how that affects you with the Apple Watch, yeah, I mean, when you're broadcasting your heartbeat, it's a whole nother level, right? Like, there's possibly nothing more intimate than that. And if you're sharing that online all the time with, you know, with those people you know and love, but also perhaps with just anybody else who happens to be watching, yeah, it's like it's a new frontier. I don't know, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. So interesting.
Well, we've got your Kickstarter project at about 18,000 pounds of 25, which is the goal, with 21 days left to go. It looks like you're in pretty good shape here.
Thank you. Yeah, we're doing pretty well, actually. I think we're closing in on about 75%, which is great. Today's like day 9. So, yeah, we've still got plenty of time to go. And, it's been really, the response has been great. We've been getting press from all around the world. We've been getting backers from all around the world. And I think it just proves that people do want like a simple and stylish solution to this.
Excellent. Well, good luck. And thank you so much for joining us at 7 in the morning from the other side of the world. And
thank you for having me.
Good luck with your Kickstarter campaign. And hopefully we'll catch up with you soon when we can actually get our hands on one of these.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Thank you, Zoltan. Zoltan Chaki, co-founder of The Affair and obviously a privacy aficionado, let's call him, Amber. Amber, I think this is all... It's a really exciting time for stuff that you wear that is computer related. And I know a lot of people are rolling their eyes saying the Apple Watch is not the first wearable. There are lots of other options. And that's very true. But Apple tends to, bring a lot of attention to maybe a product category that already exists. And then they put their spin on it. And, they've done this a variety of times. Just look at the tablet market. But it's interesting that the privacy issue kind of only keeps getting weirder as we all keep getting more connected.
Yeah, I mean, just to Zoltan's point, when you talk about transmitting your heartbeat, I mean, I kind of chuckled when I heard that during the Apple announcement. how far have we come with all of this? But
I just don't know anybody who would care about.
No.
I mean, I can't think of what, even my own mother. She doesn't. I mean, as long as I'm healthy, she doesn't want that.
Yeah.
I don't know how that helps anybody.
She does not need that. No, I agree with you. It's funny. I just saw, I think it's a new web show that launched on readwrite.com called Pretty Geeky. Mm. And they're doing a series around wearable technology, specifically in the fashion space. So you're exactly right. I mean, in wearable tech, there's so much happening right now. It's such an exciting time. But that's why what I love about Zoltan's stories. It's like the opposite, for people to protect their privacy. We just don't see much of that. It's more about sharing everything. How fast can you run? What does my heartbeat sound like? And when it comes to privacy and wearable tech, I feel as though there just are so many fewer companies trying to tackle that.
And I like his point that it's, if you've got a question what are you doing that's so, underground that you would need something like this? And his point is, well, it's nice to have the option, isn't it? And yeah, sure. We're a men's fashion brand. So we're trying to give people items that they think would look good and appeal to their fashion and sensibility, but it's just an option and it gives you the option rather than not having one at all. Of course, there are other ways to lock down a phone, but having a nice little pocket that you can slip in and out of, I mean, in many ways, that's a lot more convenient than fumbling through the settings on whatever OS you're running on your device.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a really good point.
And I like the fashion, too. It's kind of got I don't even know what I would call that style. It's very, what is it?
I don't know. That's a good question. I feel like it's kind of, grungy
kind of a little bit. Kind of. It's like construction guy, but stylish.
Yeah, but hipster-ish.
Right. I don't know what that's called, Amber, but I like it. I do.
It's like the new
cargo pant actually keeps you a little bit more private. It's good stuff. Yeah. Quick reminder that we record The Social Hour live for anybody who would like to watch us live next week on Thursdays at noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern time. We're right between Know How and Coding 101, which I called Programming 101 last week because I'm a big dummy. But if you can watch us live, that's really fun. We've got the chat room going. They're asking questions. It's sort of like we're all in this together. And, of course, if you want to watch us on demand or listen on your commute, on your run, while you're making dinner, whatever, you can do that, too. We have subscription links at twit.tv/TSH. And thanks to everybody who comes along for our ride each and every week. All right, Amber, should we get into some of our stories of the week?
Yeah, let's do it. So first up, Facebook, some big news coming out from Facebook this week about them experimenting with post-deletion. And this is kind of interesting. They'll be able to give you the option to delete your post after a certain amount of time. Maybe you want to put something up for just a few hours and you want it to disappear. Of course, it won't disappear entirely in that sense, but your followers won't be able to see it. So I guess they're kind of catching the wave that's happening right now with disappearing social media with Snapchat and other services out there.
It's so weird though, Amber. Okay, I really sat and thought about this yesterday when I heard this news, and I haven't been able to replicate this test, so I'm clearly not one of the people who's getting the schedule for deletion option. It's probably just a small number of users, but I really can't think of any Facebook post that would be awesome just to be up for like 2 days. That I would post. For example, this morning, I posted a link to the latest episode of i5 for the iPhone, which, you know, went live on Twit's site yesterday. It's like, oh, you know, it's like, I never want that to go away, because I would kind of hope that maybe even a month from now, if somebody found that post, maybe they'd watch the episode. What is this for, besides just getting on some, you know, bandwagon of messages that don't last forever?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think for the individual user this makes any sense at all, and even though I think that's some of the people who they're testing it with. But I do think this could make some sense if you were a page owner, perhaps, and you were a brand, maybe a retailer that was having some type of flash sale or organizing some type of event. So I think it could make a bit of sense in the context of you being an organization who perhaps puts stuff out there that's timely and time sensitive. But other than that, for the average person, I have no idea why you would ever want to take advantage of this. And it just seems to me like it's another opportunity for bullying. I hate to say it, but, you know, knowing that you can put something up and it will go away in an hour, and then, you know, you can imagine the feuds that could be started amongst teens if something was up there and then, you know, oh, but I took it off. And yeah, I don't know, it just seems like it's going a totally strange direction.
It really does. Facebook obviously has they do some ephemeral messaging. They've got their Slingshot app, which is basically a Snapchat clone, and those messages aren't built to last. But the whole concept of Facebook has always been, you know, this is a place to store all your photos. This is a place to, you know, tell your Facebook friends your thoughts or share stuff. And, you know, the idea is that Facebook is just this huge place where data is collected, for better or for worse. So I wonder if it's more about, hey, like goodwill towards users who feel like Facebook has its own privacy issues. I'm just not sure. I don't think it's a very helpful option. I really don't. Yeah. For anybody who's using Facebook, at least the way that I'm using it. But maybe having that option is almost worth it, because, of course, Facebook can pretty much do whatever it wants.
Yeah. I mean, and think about it, though, too, Sarah. I mean, you already have the functionality to delete a post that you put on Facebook if you want to do so.
True.
I don't know why they would spend so much time on this unless they were really targeting brands.
Yeah, it may be a brand thing. Yeah, if there's sort of like a, you know, we've got a sweepstakes and it ends at midnight, you know, that sort of thing. I could see where it could come in handy for a brand or something that's, you know, based on, you know, a live period of time. But for the average person, it just seems like a very odd function.
It's a little odd. I mean, to be honest with you, I could see it almost more on Twitter than I could on Facebook, because at least on Twitter, you know, people tend to tweet more often than they do as far as posting on Facebook. Maybe you do that once or twice a day. But, you know, let's say on Twitter I post, hey, we're live now, and I want that to go away after the hour. I would probably use something like this more, because Twitter is more of a real-time platform in many ways, mm-hmm. Versus Facebook. But I probably won't use it at all.
I probably won't either. Or maybe in 6 months we will laugh at ourselves and say, remember when we couldn't figure out why you'd ever want to schedule a post for deletion on Facebook? I don't know. Yeah. Tech is just getting weird. Social networking is just getting, we're getting these options, and I've gotten to the point where I'm like, I don't even know what it means anymore. I don't know why I want this. I'll try. I'll try to get on board, but I'm pretty confused.
I know. And this is an interesting story from Google Plus. We haven't talked a lot about Google Plus lately.
I really haven't.
Keep poking around in there and trying to use it, but it looks like Google's still kind of trucking along with Google Plus, especially with this new buy that they just announced.
Yeah, so Google has paid an undisclosed sum. We don't know. This is coming from the Wall Street Journal to acquire a company called Polar. I had not heard of it, but it's a startup to allow people to basically make and vote on polls for mobile devices. So what is the other? Gosh, I'm trying to think of. There was an app that I reviewed for i5 some time ago that was poll related. Now, of course, I can't remember what it is, but same idea. Sounds like the company plans to shut down Polar and fold the technology into Google Plus in some fashion. Probably, you know, if you want to have some sort of a poll on Google Plus, this is the way that you'll be able to do it going forward. Or they'll lump it in with if you can even do polls on Google Plus. Somebody tell me if you can now. I don't know. I haven't been to Google Plus in several fortnights now, but but it is kind of, I guess, nice, because we certainly have people here working at Twit who say Google Plus is great. We love Google Plus. We, you know, I know the guys on Know How use their Google Plus page for a lot of, you know, sort of longer term projects to get feedback from the community, and it really works well. And it would be a shame if Google kind of abandoned the whole project, because at times it has sort of seemed like Google really, I wouldn't say it ever seemed like Google was abandoning Google Plus, but really pulling back on it being a standalone product. Google Plus has sort of seemed like, well, you know, it's a place where, you know, Hangouts could begin, or, you know, it's a place where you could share YouTube videos. There are other Google properties that just seem so much more solid than Google Plus and more indispensable. I mean, if you don't have YouTube, it's like, wow, people's options really go away. But if you don't have Google Plus, there are so many other social networks that work very similarly.
Yeah, there definitely are. I mean, I was thinking about this because I saw this in the rundown. I was thinking, how would you fix Google Plus? Not that it's necessarily broken, because I use it as well. I mean, I love it and I know it works in a lot of scenarios. But one of the things that's totally broken is Google Plus Hangouts, especially when you try to do a Hangout on air. It's fabulous technology, but the whole user experience, it just feels like engineers built it and it's not really for the average person to go in and tinker around. It has so much potential. And to me, I never understood why they don't focus more on that. Like in an era where people, YouTube celebrities are born pretty much every day and they're creating great content. I mean, Hangouts on air could have massive potential. Mm-hmm. And yet the end user experience, I was just doing one with someone recently, and there's so many weird little things that happen, and it's just not simple in any way. But it could be like the foundation of Google Plus, that hey, we're the place where you come to do live broadcasts. And yet they haven't quite figured that out either.
And I think all of the functionality is there. It's just that sometimes Google just gets the marketing message wrong or doesn't try. There's something off about all of the things that are you know, capable of achieving with a variety of Google products, that if you know that, then great. But I'm constantly, you know, telling folks, oh, you know, you can do that on Google Drive, or you know that Google Plus has that functionality, or, you know, some sort of Gmail, whatever. And I just feel like there's still a lot of mystery when it comes to what people can achieve with Google that goes beyond sending email and searching for terms. And there's something weird going on in that company where the messaging is failing, at least for some of the products. Like you said, I mean, with Hangouts, you know, why is Hangouts kind of just being left to confuse people when it could actually be an extremely, extremely killer product, and position Google as the place to do basically live TV?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't have the answer. It's weird, though.
Yeah, no, I don't get
Everything's
it.
Everything's weird to me today.
They need to bring us in, Sarah, to sort these things out.
Exactly. Right.
Yeah, so another company we haven't talked a lot about recently is Path. And like you, I also saw them in the headlines specifically around this story.
So this comes from Pando.com. And this is very much rumor and speculation, because they cite a source, an anonymous source. However, this source tells the folks at Pando that Apple is all set to acquire Path in an attempt to, well, this headline says, to bolster iOS social cred. Now, my first reaction was, oh, please, that, you know, nobody uses Path anymore. You know, but that's, you know, that's the pessimistic sort of jaded version of myself. Then I thought, well, hold on a second. Apple and Path both share some things in common. Path is extremely well designed. It's always been, you know, I feel like a kind of delightful product just as far as the UI and the way that it looks and the functionality. Path sort of failed for me as a social experiment because it was almost too intimate in a way that I just didn't need after a while. I felt like 150 of my closest friends, I didn't know what to share with them anymore, that I wasn't just sharing in general comfortably on the internet, because, of course, nothing is really ever very, even, you know, even on a network like Path that's supposed to be closed, stuff was always leaking out. And, you know, I just, it just didn't work for me. But I think that says more about my social circle than it does about the product itself. But Apple, and somebody else mentioned this on Twitter last night or the night before, and I totally agreed with him. You know, Apple doesn't care about any of that stuff. Apple looks at a product like Path and might say, that's pretty slick. We could roll some of this functionality into our messages service, for example, which they are already beefing up. You know, with iOS 8, you're going to be able to send audio messages back and forth. If you had a little bit more functionality like Path, particularly for group messaging, I can see where, you know, in stickers and, you know, all that stuff, you know, or, you know, a quick little, you know, drop a pin where I am right now type thing. If it looked like Path but was under the Messages app, and I'm just using Messages as an example, I think it could actually work really well. And it doesn't seem that far-fetched that Apple would want this.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like a good fit. You're exactly right. I mean, as far as the brands, I mean, it just seems like they sort of have the same design feel to them. So it would be a nice fit. I mean, it would be a great win, I would think, too, for Path, right? I mean, although they've been kind of doing okay, it seems like they've sort of plateaued over the past year or so. And this would be a great win for them. So I would love to see that happen. And I think it would be a nice fit. Sarah, just wanted to quickly mention, not to go back in our lineup, but we just had a tweet from Daryl talking about Google Plus, saying that one of the reasons he likes it is because Google Plus is a curated way of looking at information through communities and circles, more focused than Facebook or Twitter. So that's another good point. Google circles are pretty cool.
Yeah, I would never say my Facebook feed is focused. That's something that it is not. So yeah, that is a good point. And I do hear that from people as well, is that Google Plus is a more curated experience, if you want it to be anyway. And yeah, I wouldn't say that it's more curated than my Twitter feed, but, you know, of course it depends on the people that you want to be connected to and put into your circles. Yeah, just one more thought about Path and then we'll move on is, I think you're right, Amber. I couldn't possibly know all of the internal metrics at Path. I think they have something like 25 million registered users. You know, I might be misquoting that number, but I think that's what I read, which is, I mean, that's not nothing, and it's certainly not huge. And I would think that if it has indeed plateaued, it would be such a win for a company like Path to be able to be acquired by a company like Apple. Again, it's if they're not growing and they can do something with this great product and technology that they built, it would seem like a really good fit and potentially be really fun for a product like Messages from Apple. Yeah. Because Messages has never really worked as well as it should, and it often doesn't work at all. But to just have more options as far as the kinds of messages that we send each other back and forth, this really could be Apple's foray into social, because the company doesn't really do social.
No,
messages you don't think of, because it's right now it's just sort of an SMS alternative. But if you start thinking in terms of groups and you know, multimedia messages, then it kind of starts to rival Facebook Messenger and WhatsApp and WeChat and all that other stuff, and then it kind of gets interesting.
Yeah, it does. And I mean, I think that's one thing that Apple has always done, is they focused on, you know, everybody in your family has an Apple device, so you can all stay connected. So it also has that same philosophy as Path, where it's not these massive networks, but it's more about your intimate network. And I think that, you know, it is such a great fit for them.
Very, yeah. It's I know Dave Morin, who's the CEO of Path, spoke at TechCrunch Disrupt conference that's going on in San Francisco right now. I guess it's over, but it was Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday of this week. And he absolutely had nothing to say about that when pointedly asked about the Apple rumors. He said, you know, we don't comment on rumors and speculation. And that was the end of that. So no comment from either side, but we will see.
Yeah, we'll keep an eye on it. All right. So for our social tip of the week, this is a little one. And I didn't know that you could do this. A lot of people may, but if you don't, hopefully this is helpful. There are actually sleep settings in Twitter. So if you get notifications at night on Twitter that someone's replying to you, sending you a DM, and you want to avoid all of those and you want Twitter to go silent, you can actually go in. I tried this on the web version of Twitter. You go into your settings. You then go into the mobile section, and then you go into sleep settings, and then you can turn off Twitter notifications during certain hours. This is very handy, I think, for people who don't want to be disrupted during their sleep, because I don't know about you, Sarah, but I sleep with my phone in my room, and sometimes I do wake up with like texts coming in and Twitter notifications.
Oh, yeah.
And I got to turn that all off.
All of it. Yeah, I'm with you. I've got this whole routine down where, well, first of all, my Twitter notifications, I only have specific ones turned on. I really only want to get a notification if I get a DM.
Yeah.
Or if, what's the other one that I have? If somebody that I'm following replies to a tweet, then I get a notification. I don't get notifications for favorites or if somebody new follows me or that sort of thing. So, you know, there's certain ones that are on. But yeah, depending on how active I am on Twitter, I might be engaged in sort of a back and forth and you start getting all these notifications. So, and my phone is literally right next to me on my nightstand. So I try to turn the volume off, because if you use your iPhone as an alarm, which I do, the alarm will still work even if you mute your phone, but it still sometimes vibrates.
Yeah.
And that does bother me. And it has woken me up, not just on Twitter, but other stuff too. And I didn't know that this existed.
I know, either did I. So there we have it on screen if you're watching the video version. Really simple to do, so you could turn off your notifications during certain hours, and just a handy way to make sure that everybody gets more sleep, because I think that's something with technology that we're probably missing out on sleep. I know I find myself literally like sitting in bed for half an hour before bed and reading Twitter, which is a weird habit, but I just do it. I can't explain.
Yeah, I can see, I think, yeah, when I get that sort of, you know, the little buzz from the phone, even if I'm like kind of half asleep already, it's like, I can't ignore it. I have to know what it is.
I know.
But that's disruptive. I shouldn't be doing things like that. I was already basically sleeping. So it's disrupting my, you know, my REM. But I have friends who have notifications, Twitter notifications, all of them on. I mean, anytime anybody tweets or favorites or, I mean, it's crazy. It's so annoying to, you know, have dinner with them, for example. I will not name any names, but this is the perfect setting for them, because these are the same people who sometimes say like, oh yeah, I had this tweet that got really popular and it woke me up in the middle of the night because I got so many favorites or retweets or whatever. It's like, you need to go to bed and turn your phone off. So I will be forwarding this along to them.
It reminds me of the BlackBerry days when I used to have a BlackBerry on me, and every notification I had the little vibrate turned on. So you would, I think they called it phantom vibrate, when you would then put your BlackBerry away, but you would feel like it was still vibrating on your hip or something in its holster. So yes, this has been a long technological problem that we've had over the years. So hopefully that helps people. It's a simple one.
It's a good one. Good social tip, Amber. I had no idea. I had no idea that you could do that. All right, let's move on to our spotlight of the week. This is actually kind of sad.
It is sad, although you can help people. So it's interesting. This is a site called No Likes Yet. It's for people who love Instagram and yet want to find those pictures on Instagram that don't have any likes. So you're right, Sarah. It feels a little sad, but once you log in with your Instagram account, you can log in and then you can see all of those photos that have no likes, including photos that your friends have posted that don't have likes. So I think this could be beneficial, because then you can go in and you can like some of their photos. So it doesn't have to be all negative.
And it's funny, I'm actually... sorry, Anthony, we can't pull up my screen, but I'm actually looking at photos that have zero likes, just that are posted to Instagram all over the world. And, you know, there's like a guy and a cowboy hat with his girlfriend. It's kind of cute. I'll go ahead and like that one. Why not? You know, and
give them some likes, right? This is about spreading love more than it is about laughing at these people.
Exactly. There's some people making, I don't know, this looks like a street fair, whatever. Okay. I'll go ahead and like that too. And then it's like, then it gets weird, right? Because if I'm the only like, then they're probably like, how did she find me? You know, unless you know about the service. It's weird that there's also a category for my friends' photos. And apparently, yes. I don't have any friends who have posted any photos that have zero likes.
Wow.
So it's, you know, it's a good group of Instagram community people, I guess, that I'm following. Everybody's always going to get at least
That's
eight
good.
Like or two.
They're happy people on Instagram.
That would be very unusual, wouldn't it? Sometimes on Facebook, I'll see somebody post something and it's like there's no engagement as far as likes or comments. And I kind of go like, huh, I wonder what happened. Did nobody see that? But on Instagram, that would be really unusual.
Yeah, you always seem to get at least a few likes.
At least a few, yeah, even if they're
Unless,
charity likes.
Or you make it to this site, so who knows?
I actually love this. NoLikesYet.com. Go and like an unloved photo today. Make a friend while you're at it.
Yeah.
Look at all these. You know, you got
Sarah can't stop.
You got a woman and horse. Like, that's a, you got to like that one.
Who doesn't like that picture? A woman with two horses behind her?
That's beautiful. I mean, that should have 500 likes.
Yeah.
Let's start with what always starts with one. Gregory Hazel. We're looking out for you, buddy.
You just have to be the first, Sarah. Just the first.
Oh, that's good. All right. Should we move on to our app of the week?
All right. So just quickly with our app of the week, it's an app that I saw. I don't even know where I found it. It's called Pitcher, and gopitcher.com is the website. And it is like Tinder for marketers. It's made by a company in Amsterdam. Oh, boy. And the idea is that they call it the agency matchmaker. So you click along, you swipe along. If you're unhappy with the agency that you're currently using, you can swipe along and you can find new agencies and see profiles, demos of their work, and say that you like them and then get in touch. So I don't know what to think about this.
I think it's kind of
neat.
I know this isn't our rad or fad segment, but it's almost as if we're going to treat it that way. I, the whole sort of like Tinder for X is... You know, it's a little gimmicky, but I like the idea, really. I mean, the whole reason that Tinder gets so much attention, really, is because it's extremely easy to use, and it's kind of catchy, right? You swipe left if you don't like something, and you swipe right if you do. So the idea that you might be looking at, you know, whether it's, you know, a romantic partner or an agency, because there are so many of them. Amber, I know that you have a lot of experience with this. That, you know, it could make the whole process at least a little bit more fun, if nothing else.
Yeah, I think it makes it kind of fun. And I haven't seen anything like this before. So that's always interesting to see something that where people are getting kind of clever. And for any digital marketers who watch The Social Hour, they may be interested in checking it out.
Yes.
Just a fun one.
Absolutely. And if, if you're already using it or have had good or bad experience with Pitcher, the app, and that's Pitcher, like, you know, a pitcher of lemonade. Please let us know. In fact, you can write us at thesocialhour@twit.tv, not just with that feedback, but any feedback on anything that we talk about on the show, guest ideas, stories that you'd like us to cover, all that good stuff. You can go ahead and send an email to us, thesocialhour@twit.tv. We also allow you to leave us a voicemail. You know, voice messaging, it's getting very hot. You know, iOS 8 is coming. I'm just kidding. Yeah, a lot of you are rolling your eyes. But hey, you can leave us a voicemail. 2626-SOCIAL. That's 2626 SOCIAL. That is our Google voicemail number. Or, of course, you can record a video of yourself telling us something, asking a question, or just some cool video that you found online that you think is right for the show. We will take them. Upload the video somewhere. Send us the link. And thanks in advance. It's always fun to get all of your feedback and your contributions. All right, Amber, before we end the show, let's get it right into our Rad or Fad of the week.
Okay, so for this week's Rad or Fad, and maybe I was thinking about this because we had a terrible rainstorm in Toronto yesterday. And of course, if you had a good umbrella, that would be great. If you wanted to share your umbrella, this gadget could help. It's called Umbrella Here. And it is a light that goes on top of your umbrella. And the reason that this is social is because it will notify, just based on the fact if you have it on, it will notify people, or it's supposed to let them know that they can come and run up to you and share an umbrella with
please.
You. I know, but it gets gets crazier. There's also an app that goes along with this. And that means if you meet someone who's walking on the street who needs to share your umbrella, you can then ask them to join the community and keep track of where you met them under your umbrella.
What in the world? Hold on a second. Okay, so the idea is we're watching the video, and it was sort of like this girl who had an umbrella dissing this guy who was standing in the rain. And the idea is, if only they were connected, maybe she could have shared her umbrella with him. Listen, okay, so here's the problem that I have with this. Where do I start? The main problem that I have is I'm a pretty small person, so I'm one of those people when I hold an umbrella, I'm, you know, like poking everybody else like in the chest area as they walk by me. Nobody wants to stand under my umbrella, and I don't want a taller person to hold mine for me because then I just end up getting rained on. And your umbrella has to be pretty big. So
an umbrella isn't a personal thing, right?
Yeah, there are a lot of variables here that I'm not sure have been well thought through. And then and then there's just the whole like wet people that are strangers. No, thank you. I don't want to be a jerk, but I don't want to share my umbrella. Like, even with a friend, get your own umbrella.
I will remember this when I come to visit and there's a bad rainstorm and I need to go under your umbrella.
Well, the problem is that you're taller than me, and so it already doesn't work. Like, I'm the annoying person. You know, on a rainy day, it's like, because you want the umbrella to really cover your head. So, if you know, anybody 5 feet and under, I guess you can stand under my umbrella. Everybody else, tough noogies.
You know, so I guess the story here is that social umbrellas can't be social. That doesn't even make sense.
No.
And I think we have to call this a fad, you know, someone trying to make something social that really is very personal and doesn't need to be social. So I wouldn't use this, Sarah, and I'm getting the feeling that you wouldn't either.
No. Yeah, I feel like it's attempting to solve a problem that just, it's not that, you know, nobody likes being caught in the rain. I understand that there is sort of essentially is an issue, but yeah, I think it's more about if you're just prepared. Like, I don't want to open up an app to like find out who might be near me that has an umbrella. Look how small that umbrella is that those people are sharing. I don't even think it's raining. They're just walking around like they're having a good time. That's not how it works.
I mean, I think it's, you know, there's within the umbrella space, it is kind of your personal space. So the idea of inviting a stranger in there, I think aside from getting, you know, wet or however tall you are, the reality is I don't think I'd want anyone that close to me who I didn't know walking down the sidewalk with me.
I did notice that in that video, because I mentioned it wasn't even raining, it looked like there was a building behind them with Mandarin characters. So somewhere in China. There is definitely, particularly in China, I can't speak for other Asian countries, a lot of people use umbrellas to shield themselves from the sun. So maybe, you know, if you take the whole, like, I'm getting wet, my shoes are getting ruined out of the equation, this might make a little bit more sense where you're actually just trying to shield yourself from, like, UVB rays type of a thing. But even then, it still comes down to that personal space issue. It's like, you can't borrow my shoes or my umbrella. Can't do it. Just, you know, it's a personal thing. Fad across the board. Fads all the way down.
Total fad. All right. So good luck to those university students who came up with that idea. And hopefully you do something a little more practical next time around.
Sure. I mean, you know, E for effort, A for effort, or creativity. For sure. Just can't really see the use case. All right. Well, that does it for this edition of The Social Hour. It's been a great hour. For anybody who joined us later in the show, we had an awesome interview off the top of the show with the co-founder of a device, well, really a wearable fashion item called The Affair. Do definitely check that out. We will have the link to the product, which is still a Kickstarter project right now, in our show notes at twit.tv/TSH. Amber, before we we let you go, I always ask you, is there anything fun happening in Toronto or otherwise that you will be participating in over the next week?
I don't think so. I have a couple of TV segments coming up next week on the Marilyn Dennis Show. I do her show a lot. For Canadians, they will know that show. And I think I have a speaking event next week, but it's in Toronto, so that's always nice. And other than that, no, just kind of, you know, plugging away at work and hoping that we have a few more days where we can still have some nice weather before the fall sets in.
I hope that for you as well. I'm actually flying down to San Diego this weekend,
Nice.
Which I have not done. It's just for fun. I haven't been to San Diego, not being to Comic-Con or some other convention center related event, just for fun, in many, many years. So I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Still the same state, but feels like a very different one down there than at least, you know, my part of California, San Francisco. So yeah, really looking forward to it. Maybe I'll get a little bit tanner. So next Thursday, you'll be all impressed.
Be all jealous.
All jealous and impressed, yeah. All right, well, thanks everybody for watching and listening to The Social Hour. Until next week, I'm Sarah Lane.
And I'm Amber MacArthur, and we'll see you soon.